Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. We are politically a political website, as you folks know. There we go, politically a political website. I should have taken grammar in college, but I never did. Listen, having said that, we're going to start out. We're going to talk about business, what's going on in the good old U.S. of A. We're recording this, by the way, on Thursday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, as of about 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, was down about 950 points. That's a big one. A lot of analysts are blaming the Fed because of the interest rate hikes, which are minuscule. 50 basis points for probably the next three meetings is what the Fed announced. Jimmy, you got something to say about that?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I mean, investors are blaming the Fed on this, but it's really not the Fed. The Fed is dealing with inflation. And in spite of the CPI numbers that came out this week that said, you know, we didn't have that bad of inflation, it's still increasing. And core inflation still at above 6%.
Yeah.
And of course, the producer price index from last week wasn't as bad as expected, but it's still showing those core rates, inflation numbers going up as well.
Now, Jimmy, so, your inflation numbers, I assume, include energy and food. Those are very big items. Is that right?
Well, actually, no. Energy and food are a part in the numbers overall, the PPI, but that's a higher number. When you strip away, you go to the core inflation rate,
right.
And that's what I'm talking
about.
I know.
Well, yeah. What is it including energy and food?
I think the numbers came out at, it was an expected 1%, and it came out, oh gosh, I'm off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I am trying to struggle to remember exactly what the numbers came out, but it was just a very small increase, but it still kept it up in the above 7, almost 8%.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is the administration cannot push inflation under the rug. They can't do that. It's a big deal.
Right. And remember, so the Fed is dealing with inflation. The way they're dealing with inflation is raising interest rates. That's the typical tool they've used in the past. That's increasing the value of the dollar, which actually is hurting exports. So, yes, there will, and everyone is recommending, expecting that we're going to have a recession.
Yeah.
But the reason why we're having a recession is not because they're raising interest rates. The reason why we're having a recession is because of regulatory policies put forth by the Biden administration,
yeah,
that have restricted energy in the U.S. and caused some of these high inflation numbers, as well, because it crossed, you know, energy, everything is based on petroleum. You know, the shirt I'm wearing, the shoes,
yeah,
I wear, like,
you
know, not
you
just
bet.
Gas in your tank,
right.
Every bit of production.
Yeah.
The food you eat has to have diesel fuel for the tractors in order to produce the
sure.
food. And of course, fertilizer. All these things are petroleum based products. Energy absolutely dominates our economy, and when you take away the production that in any part of the market, and the U.S. had reached a level of, they were exporting, but they were of equity of being the largest producer in the world and self-sufficient basically, and of course the policies that they've put in place, the Biden administration has changed that. Not only have the energy policies damaged the economy, but the long-term COVID policies that were paying people off and, you know, printing all this money in order to give away above and beyond, you know, the basic needs,
yeah,
really stirred inflation, caused these, you know, shortfalls in supply chain. But the supply chain shortfalls weren't just that there was more money out there to buy things. It was also because there were fewer workers because of some of the restrictions and the mandatory vaccination requirements for contractors, companies over 100 employees. All these policies come together to really damage the economy. And of course, the Fed's trying to manage it and deal with it, and the different, you know, how effective they're going to be, I think, is in question, because there's just no precedent for the level of damage that the Biden administration has put on the U.S. economy.
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting is the newest station that picked us up is located down in the Salem, Oregon area. Audience of about 310,000, which is a pretty big number. And that area I know very, very well because I spent a lot of time there. The bank that I was on the board of directors of actually originated in the area where the station is located. And I have to tell you, I'd like to know how those people are doing it down there, because agricultural costs, when you factor in, and you have to factor in energy, et cetera, are just absolutely taking agricultural costs to the moon.
And, yes.
And that's very important to realize.
Yeah. So we're seeing a decline in gas prices at the pump.
Yeah.
But some of the purchases on the, you know, when you're buying and you're, you know, buying off the commodities market and you're making these purchases for oil and production, they're looking months out. So the prices that you're seeing right now lower at the pump are not reflective of some of the commitments that were done because of the summer highs. So basically the food producers are having a very, very tough time with what they were committed in order, you know, back in the past, the amount of what they had to do. And these large scale industries, you know, it's having a very damaging effect on them. And that's why you're seeing these massive increases in food prices. So you're seeing energy drop in the short term. This is, again, in the overall CPI number. You see energy numbers drop, but you see food prices skyrocket. So that's balancing out, and we're still having continued inflation because basically we haven't caught up at any level to the production required in order to sustain our economy.
Yeah. Well, I want to say one thing. Jim Rickards, who's an economist, former advisor to the Pentagon and former advisor to the CIA, wrote a very, very interesting treatise on Biden bucks. And what Jim says initially is, I believe President Biden plans to retire the U.S. dollar and replace it with a digital spyware currency. He goes on to say your money could be confiscated or, in fact, made worthless. What do you think about that, Jim? I think a digital currency like the aforementioned Biden bucks is really, really scary.
Yes, and you don't have to go any farther than to look across the border to Canada to look at what Justin Trudeau's government did to individuals that were supporting the protest against the truckers that were protesting against the lockdowns.
They simply made their money worthless.
Well, they took actually locked out people out of their bank accounts.
Right, and that's basically making their money worthless.
Exactly. You can't use it. Now, you know, Americans think, oh, no way, that could never happen. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that are happening right now that Americans thought could never happen in America.
Yeah, too much. You know,
yeah, way too many things. So this move is a method of federal and overall government control. And by doing that, they will dictate terms politically for the future of all Americans. And what we've seen with the tech industry and the silencing of voices in coordination and conjunction with people inside Washington, D.C., especially in law enforcement agencies, how quickly will they take away your dollars or lock you out of your account because they accuse you of being a racist or, you know, something you said was wrong.
Yeah.
And they'll make a choice on that. Who decides that? It depends on who's in power. So very dangerous precedent. These digital dollars, I think, would be very damaging to the economy. But I'll tell you, they're pushing them, especially authoritarian types.
Oh, they're pushing them. They're pushing them as hard as they can. And I have to tell you, I know a little bit about currency. I know a little bit about digital currency. All I have to do is point to the guy who's now in jail when he was arrested in the Bahamas after the Bahamas government would not give him an extradition. Look at how much money he absconded with. Absolutely crazy. You guys, we have to take a real quick commercial break. Be right back.
Yeah.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Back, you know, I made a little bit of a mistake in our opening segment when we were talking about the state of the U.S. economy. I kind of caught Jimmy off guard by asking for inflation numbers. He didn't have his notes in front of him, but he does now. So, Jimmy, what are the exact inflation numbers, according to your notes, as of Thursday morning?
Right. So I just, you know, going to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the November numbers that came out were 7.1%. Now, that's basically below what the market expectations is, 7.3%, but it's still well above the 2% Fed target, right? I mean, we're talking a large amount above the Fed target. And it's also, there's a huge discrepancy between wages and inflation. So you've got a 2 to 3% difference. So basically people are losing 2 to 3% of their earnings because of inflation on a monthly basis at this point.
And that's not a small amount. You got to realize that that's out there, and you have to realize what that's doing to your pocketbook and what that's doing to your standard of living. I'm pretty much on a fixed income right now, and I have to tell you, now that I'm retired, I truly realize the meaning of and the discipline you have when you're on a fixed income, for lack of better terms. You know, when you talk about Biden bucks, you're talking about a digital currency. A digital currency like Bitcoin or some of these others are something I never really understood, and so I never got involved in it, either financially or what I would have to say is professionally. Brinkman Fried is now in jail. Jim, why don't you wrap up what he did with the exchange that he founded and was in charge of?
Yeah, so FTX is the exchange,
right?
And basically, so this is what's very interesting. So Sam Bankman-Fried's parents are Stanford economists, you know, economics professors, right?
Yeah.
So well-respected people, and they're very involved with, you know, senior members of the Democratic Party. Sam Bankman-Fried's girlfriend, Christina Ellison, was the daughter of Greg Ellison.
Yeah.
And
Harvard.
He was best friends with the SEC chair, Gensler.
Yeah.
Right? So here you have these very powerful parents supporting these two kids that put this offshore Bitcoin exchange that basically is exchanging nothing, and then they've got massive amounts of investment through their connections to build was somewhere between $30 and $40 billion investment management fund, or I should say it's not an investment fund, it's this crypto philosophy thing,
right?
And then of course the Alameda group was investing using money from the Sam Bankman-Fried FTX exchange,
right?
It's basically a place people could put their cryptocurrencies in and then they could use it or pull it out. It was supposed to be safe. They were actually shipping money over to this other Alameda investment group that was basically just siphoning off. It was a huge scheme. But it was a very politically and publicly connected scheme. Lots of very well-known people, the Bradys, Tom Brady and his wife, or I guess soon-to-be ex-wife. You had people like Larry David, this Saturday Night Live comedian, doing commercials on the Super Bowl for FTX. Hilarious to watch. Everyone should go and actually look at that Larry David Super Bowl commercial for FTX. It's a hilarious one because it really, really shows the irony of the situation.
Well, a lot of very prominent Democrats were involved in this thing because Brinkman-Fried was a big contributor of money that he got from the exchange to the Democratic Party.
Was, as identified so far, the second largest donor to the Democratic Party. But the charges that he's facing from the DOJ right now actually are in conjunction with illegal political contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from my perspective, the DOJ has to charge that. But the very interesting thing that happened this week, that people need to take a good hard look at. When I say people, I mean investigative journalists and, of course, financial analysts, as well as you know, Republican leaders in the House Finance Committee. The Sam Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify this week before the House Finance Committee. Maxine Waters, is the chair until January.
Waters is the chair.
Yes. Okay. Shockingly, but yes. So the brilliant economics superhero Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
Is the the finance chair in the House.
Yeah.
Had a hearing that Sam Bankman-Fried was supposed to testify about. Now he hasn't been shy about getting on the media in the last couple of. Weeks after this collapse, he's supposed to testify, but the DOJ arrests him a few hours before. Actually, not the DOJ. The Bahamian law enforcement authorities arrest him on request or in conjunction with these indictments by the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
So what it did is it kept him from testifying publicly on or being asked questions publicly about his donations and some of the illegalities that went on of this.
Yeah.
And here's what's hilarious. That when you look deep into this problem, apparently, according to a lot of news reports, their method of accounting for billions of dollars was Intuit QuickBooks.
Okay.
Now, you start peeling the onion back on this, and you see a couple of kids. I mean, literally, in their 20s.
Yeah, early 20s, Jim.
Yeah, and they go nuts with billions of dollars and lose it.
Right.
As they're propping up the Democratic Party before the midterm elections, and actually since they've been involved in politics.
Right.
Unbelievable. And they've been protected by large Democratic investors and donors. And you're still seeing a lot of these guys, Kevin O'Leary, I can't remember the name of the show, but Shark Tank guy.
Yeah.
And, CNBC guy. He invested $15 million. And he says, sometimes I make bad investments, but I trust Sam Bankman-Fried. I actually watched the interview. It's stunning. These people are still trying to protect.
Yeah.
This and they don't, and I think the reason the justification for that is they realize how volatile all this is, because Binance has lost I think $3 billion in withdrawals the other day, Coinbase is going bankrupt, FTX went bankrupt. These cryptocurrency exchanges are facing the reality that they will be regulated,
right?
And people are starting to realize that the value of a digital coin, Bitcoin or whatever, really is just the value of Ether. And as that begins to collapse, they don't want it to collapse because they're trying to protect their investments.
Jimmy, we got to cut it. The news is coming up here in 20 seconds. We will kind of wrap up our discussion on digital currencies after the break. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time for the second half of the KER Politics segment. We have some interesting things going on in the economy that Jimmy and I think are really worth bringing to your attention. First of all, a majority of Americans today are living paycheck to paycheck. That's kind of scary. That puts them basically a very short period of time from economic, what I would call, oblivion, for lack of better terms. In spite of that, the administration is now fairly serious about instilling a digital currency into our system. All of that bothers me. That's just simply too many things. How can some family who's living paycheck to paycheck deal with something as, what is the right word to use here, important, I guess, or as complicated as a digital currency? It doesn't make any sense to me. Jimmy, what's your opinion?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the numbers that came out this week, and Lending Club, a report highlighted in CNBC, talks about the fact that 63% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck right now.
That's the majority.
Yeah, and of course, that's up from 60% just the previous month. And of course, it's almost at the historic high of 64% based on their studies that hit in March of this year. But here's what's interesting to me, Al, that's really kind of unusual that I didn't expect. Of people earning more than six figures, more than $100,000 a year, 47% of them say they're living paycheck to paycheck. And that's a jump from 43% the previous month.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that are struggling to go month to month with.
And they're making more than $100,000 a year.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
I know it's what it, and of course we're seeing a significant increase in credit card debt.
Yeah.
Home mortgages have dropped off significantly because of the higher interest rates.
Yeah.
So that debt is increasing as much, but there's a lot of debt that's out there right now, and of course this is on top of after this massive influx of COVID relief funds that the government pumped out there that is really the underlying cause of this inflation. Now,
well, the inflation is a problem, Jim. There's no question about that. But I would have to say that the number one problem right now in our economy is the apparent lack of liquidity on the part of our citizens.
Well, I think that's a very, very big problem. I think you may be right.
Yeah.
And I think it's conjunction. You know, we've got the inflation that stems from regulation, from the energy industry, from what we're talking about with this flow of massive amounts of debt that was incurred by the federal government in order to print money to give to people that to spur, I'm not sure, basically to pay them off, to keep them happy. It looks like a lot of, political activism through, buying votes, if you will. But when you talk about, your original question, getting back to digital currency.
It's just one more complication is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. And not only a complication, but again, as we mentioned previously in the show, this gives the federal government tremendous power over individuals' lives.
Sure. All they have to do is shut off the spigot if they want to.
That's right. And of course, they can create as many digital dollars as they want, or they could take away as many digital dollars as they want. And again, this is a big problem. All we've done with creating a digital dollar is make a very serious problem without any commodities-based currencies, now even based on ether. And how quickly does that dissolve?
Yeah.
And how easily, and we do know how easily people are able to break into no matter what crypto, safety mechanisms there are, people are able to break into these wallets. They're able to steal money. We saw that with FTX with, I think, about $500 million that was stolen.
Yeah, a huge amount of money, Jim.
Yeah, it's just, your cash is not necessarily safe in your pocket, but you have it and you have control over it.
That's
right. If it's in someone else's computer or it's up to the federal government, I would be very, very suspicious and concerned about how many resources someone else controls that I can't touch.
Yeah.
So, it's the digital system, in my view, is a push towards control. It's an attempt to make it easier. And I do understand with blockchain technology, the idea that you take away a lot of middlemen, which makes exchanges a little more convenient and actually less costly.
Sure.
It does undermine major industries like blockchain technology with a digital investment or a digital purchase of a home. It takes away the title company because ideally all that information is locked into this blockchain and all the title information is there and then it would be protected. But obviously that puts everything into some electrons, some in the ether that if in fact it's lost, you've got a serious problem. And it centralizes control. It
makes it much more, in my view, much more vulnerable to major problems.
Yeah.
A decentralized system is a better way to go.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that when you talk about the concept of central control, to me, that's pretty scary. But the second thing that's pretty scary is right now our economy is based on the thinking of the people, okay? Nobody really, they don't stop and think about how bad it is. They don't stop and think about the fact that people making even $100,000 a year are still living paycheck to paycheck. All of the confidence in the American economy could really just cease in a moment if people realized that and started to think about it. It really is a house of cards. There's no question about that, Jim.
And that's right.
I just pray to God that people keep their heads together, that they don't panic and they don't kind of, you know, go to an extreme.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's the economy right now is all our currency, all our exchange is based on trust and faith that the government, that our government will continue to go on in the best interest of the people. We're losing that. People are losing faith and trust in our legislative system, they're in our judicial system, and the executive branch, the regulators.
Yeah.
And as the regulators in the executive branch reach out to grab more power and force these types of policies on top of people, they're not happy about it.
No.
If you're fat and dumb and you sit back and you think, you know, the tech world is fantastic, you know, every day you sit around and play tech games or you build, you know, software or something like that, you think everything's fine. But the moment that changes, you are stuck. You know, those individuals that have just felt comfortable that everything is going to be okay because someone's taking care of them, when that faith falls away, the economy collapses, and what remains? You know, there's no gold in a vault in Fort Knox anymore that backs our currency.
Nope.
There's no trust and faith anywhere. And of course, as we increased this massive federal debt, unbelievable, you know, $31 trillion, I believe, we're over now. You know, we've got to pay interest on those bonds, on the sale of that debt.
That debt, and, Jim, let me just interrupt you for a second. I can guarantee you one thing. That debt is totally unserviceable on the part of the United States right now. Anybody who has taken a basic economics course would realize that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think we are, you know, heading to the reality that we can't service that debt.
Right.
We can't continue to spend like we have been. And of course, when people wake up and realize that, that's why things collapse. Other countries stop buying our debt. You know, the Chinese stop buying our debt, or they cash in and want that debt. We're in serious trouble.
We're in very serious trouble. We're down to about 25 seconds, by the way, Jimmy.
Yeah. So looking at that, you know, we've got two consecutive weeks of the markets losing. You know, there's a lot of problems out there economically, but there are also a lot of problems politically and with information flow. So I think we ought to move to that for the last segment today.
We're going to talk about that in the last segment. I'm really concerned right now. The thing I'm concerned about is most Americans are not aware of how serious the economic issue is right now. You guys stick around. We'll be right back.
Yeah, this is Jim McKinney back with Al to finish up the Corlin Economics Report Politics, KER Politics, for this weekend show. And this last segment, well, you know, we talked a lot about the economy and cryptocurrency and, of course, the FTX scandal in the previous three segments. We're going to finish this up with just some bizarre politics that are happening out there. We're going to talk a little bit about the release by the Federal Archives of about 13,000 documents on the JFK assassination, which is interesting. A little bit about this long Hail Mary pass for the January or for the 2020 election in a case that will be actually reviewed by the Supreme Court on January 6th of 2023 called Brunson v. Adams. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about what's happening with
the Biden administration, what's happening with Tara Reid, who is really pushing her agenda to hold Biden accountable for what she alleges is sexual misconduct back in the 90s when she was a staffer in the congressional, actually in the House, in our Capitol, and the validity of that. And of course, you know, we'll just close it out with some thoughts and ideas of what's going on out there. But I think to start off, Al, we'll talk a little bit about the JFK documents that were pulled out of the archives.
Why don't you go ahead and take us through that, Jim?
Yeah, okay. Well, so it looks like the archives released approximately 13,000 documents here this week. And in those documents, there's nothing really major, apparently, because I have not read them all, but a lot of people are talking about it. There have been releases. You know, the Trump administration ordered the release of these documents. And of course, the administrative foot dragging that went on for a long period of time in order to review and redact different versions of the documents has just taken forever. And of course, that's because the agencies that are potentially involved in this are very concerned about, quote, national security issues. Well, we're talking about, 1963, and now we're at almost 2023, and almost everybody involved is already passed away.
Yeah.
And the only thing that stands to be lost here is the credibility of some of the federal agencies that may in fact have been involved. And so I think Tucker Carlson did a piece last night. I read a little bit more up on it. Some of the information that was brought out was a guy named Lewis West. He was a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist was the last psychiatrist to review Jack Ruby. Remember, Jack Ruby was the guy that killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald was declared into the Warren Commission way back when from Lyndon B. Johnson's efforts to provide, quote, transparency, unquote. Jack Ruby assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald, who was supposed to be the sole shooter, according to that Warren report. Now, there was more information that came out that looked that there may be more involvement, but here's a very interesting piece. This guy, the psychiatrist, who went and saw Jack Ruby, the last one to declare him insane, was a guy named Lewis West. And Lewis West apparently was a CIA psychiatrist involved in the MK Ultra program. Now, that's what's being reported. That was released in these documents. That's a little piece of evidence which shows direct involvement by one of the three-letter agencies, intelligence agencies. So really, it's not helping stop conspiracies with this release. It's continuing to question what's going on with the remaining roughly 3% of the documents that they have not released. And that's the real question. What are they hiding?
If anything,
Yeah, well, why?
I don't know. Point, you know, Jim, that's a very, very interesting point. Why? I think it could really blow apart the political bubble that this country is in right now. I'll tell you what I'd like you to do, though, because we're up to 4 minutes and almost up to 5 minutes. I'm really curious about your comments on the trial that's coming up in early January.
Okay, one other thing I wanted to mention about the documents that have been released. They identified as Lyndon Johnson as being a member of the KKK. That's documents that were previously released.
Yeah,
so that's pretty interesting.
I believe he was, yes.
So for the January 6th event, now I'll be brief on this because a lot of people on the extreme right that want to see Trump back in office, they believe that this is going to somehow overturn the election. And basically the legal case is that I think it's about 130 plus legislators and other members of the government, including Mike Pence, have failed in their duty constitutionally to review the accusations that there was fault problems in the 2020 election. So they broke their oath of office. And that lawsuit is going forward. Interestingly enough, it's been appealed up from Utah, going from Utah all the way up to the Supreme Court. And apparently,
The docket shows January 6th that the full Supreme Court, 9 members, will sit down and review the validity of this case. Now, if it were they were to win, and it's Brunson v. Adams, if Brunson, who filed the case, were to win the case, it would actually invalidate the offices of a large number of sitting legislators. And if that happened, of course, it changes everything. And one of the one of the things they want from the case is a reinstatement of President Trump.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I'm a real football fan, and I've seen an awful lot of Hail Mary passes. I've seen the passes that work, and I've seen the passes that don't work. I would have to say that I'm glad to see that something like this is happening, because that'll bury the issue probably really for good. But I don't think Trump is going to get reinstated because of this. Just an opinion.
I question whether what the restitution would be for this case.
Yeah.
When you look through the legal arguments, it's a very interesting angle. They weren't talking about specific corruption. They were talking about the justification for these sitting legislators avoid looking at alternative circumstances and actually investigate corruption, and they failed. So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be an interesting take on it. And of course, they've got depositions from large number of witnesses that have put sworn statements in. So we'll see how this works. I think we have to take a quick look at what's happening politically with the budget right now. You've got this fight between the, whether or not the House, the lame duck legislature is going to approve this, expansive pork barrel filled budget that's going forward. And of course, we've got this issue with Tara Reid, who's really pushing the agenda against Joe Biden and his sexual assault back in the early 90s when she was a staffer on Capitol Hill. And, it's funny because she has she filed a formal complaint, and that has been hidden in congressional, with the powers that be in the Senate. And she also has this clear bit of evidence where after she quit, after this, she filed these complaints and, was very afraid of what might happen from Joe Biden. Her mother called into the Larry King Live show in 1993. So there's some, and actually discussed the problems with a very powerful politician in Washington threatening her daughter and the concerns. So there's some real validity to this complaint, and in particular because Tara Reid was always a Democrat, and this is really about her. So there's a lot of politics behind the scenes right now that are pushing people left and right and to the extremes. And we'll see what happens as we start, basically going into the new year, because there's a lot of questions out
there.
Interesting
comments, Jimmy. Very thought-provoking. We're just about out of town here, so let me wrap this thing up by saying thank you very much for bringing all of this to our attention. It certainly is important, and it certainly is going to hit the news right after the first of the year. I'm not going to opine on any of them because I really question if any of this is going to see the light of day, but we will see. There are some very important issues. There's no question about that. Jimmy, thank you so much for doing the research. I appreciate it. You guys, it was fun doing this. Really fun. Going to have a good one next week also.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.